to be with you and to have so many of you here to celebrate this great Easter feast. We have our Lenten journey is ended. Whatever you gave up, you can stop giving it up. You can indulge yourselves now, and hopefully not too bad. RJ, you can eat meat now. So at our Easter dinner at our house, you can eat meat. Some of us made a Lenten small group Ignatian retreat. And in that, Susan Stabile, who designed the retreat, offered a reflection by Franciscan spiritual author Richard Rohr. You might have heard of Richard Rohr. And it was a reflection on Easter, in which Richard Rohr says, I think very, very poignantly, the task of Easter is to rekindle the entire creed within ourselves. And we're going to do that today with our baptisms. We're going to renew our baptismal promises. We're going to renew our creed. So the task of Easter is to rekindle the entire creed, what we really believe as Christians, as Catholics. The earliest Christians, immediately after experiencing the resurrected Christ, as we saw in today's gospel, spontaneously voiced a one-line creed, and that is, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That really says it all. When we say that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is Lord of this world, we're saying everything. We're saying basically at least three things. We're saying that God is ultimately still in charge of the universe, despite many indications to the contrary. We're saying that brutality, war, and oppression notwithstanding, at the end of the day, violence, injustice, and sin will both be silenced and overcome. And thirdly, we're saying that graciousness and gentleness, as manifested in Jesus, are ultimately what lies at the root of all reality. To believe in the resurrection is to believe these things. But I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, that's a tall order. That's a big pill to swallow. There's a little throwaway line that says, despite many indications to the contrary. Yeah, there are a lot of indications to the contrary. And so to believe this with all those indications to the contrary takes real Easter faith. And one of the indications to the contrary for us Catholics today that I think can weigh very heavily on us is the abuse crisis, which has been rocking the church and has shaken many people's faith, certainly in the church, if not also in God. If God is in charge, how could he let all this happen? As you know, as many of you know, as our parishioners know, we've gone through a healing process as a parish over the abuse crisis with several healing masses and a restorative justice morning session for healing on this issue, and they've really been very good experiences. And parishioners were invited to write their prayers and hopes and concerns and feelings on prayer cards, which we collected and put in a wicker basket. And so I put that wicker basket up there. You remember that? And it was for me, it was very touching. We had that there all of Lent, and it was very touching when people brought that up at the offertory time. And it was also very especially touching to me when children, young people, brought up those prayers and petition. It was so powerful. And those prayer cards were symbolically offered up at the Easter vigil last night when Father R.J. burned them in the Easter fire. And from that Easter fire, our Easter candle was lit. So isn't that an interesting symbol that we burnt those prayers, and from that burning, from that fire, we lit the Easter candle, our candle of hope, our candle of faith, our candle of joy. What a resurrection. And while what people wrote on their cards was confidential, three parish leaders went through them to find out what themes there were, so we didn't lose that. And of course, there was no names involved, of course. And many of the responses to how people are feeling regarding the clergy abuse crisis were repeated over and over again. So there were some very strong themes. So one of the themes, a very strong theme, people are feeling sad, profound sadness, hopelessness, despair, disappointment and anger, fear and loss of trust, tired and heartbroken, betrayed, embarrassed, hurt, and confused. People want to be able to defend their faith but feel shame sometimes in doing so. People feel shocked at the abuse and cover-up has gone on for so long in so many places. Clearly, people's faith was shaken, and feelings of hopelessness and despair are the opposite of Easter hope. So if this were the end of the story, this wouldn't make for a very upbeat Easter homily. But I brought this up because I think that if our Easter hope and Easter joy is going to be real and have any depth, you know, it's not just a question of rainbows and bubbles and flowers. It's really, you know, we have to face reality. And as Jesus entered fully into our human reality, even to the point of death, so we also have to face the reality of our church as we celebrate this beautiful feast. But as I said, fortunately, those feelings of sadness and betrayal are not the end of the story. For despite all of this, our prayerful reflections and discussions also revealed a great deal of hope and faith in our parish community. A lot of faith and hope is present here in this church, in this group, in this congregation. It was evident from the response cards that many parishioners put their faith and trust in God and not necessarily in the institutional church. However, there was a surprising amount of hope for reform and renewal of the church. But Christ must be at the center. Christ should be our guiding light. People are trying to focus on the good in the church. There are many good priests, for example, and people are trying to focus on this community, the good in this community. There is a strong desire for unity within our community. We are the body of Christ. We need to come together in love to change the church and to be the church. Parishioners believe in our parish as a place where we will heal and recover and build the city of God here and now. We continue to be nourished by the Word and by the Eucharist, as we are this morning. And we proclaim the good news and help each other grow closer to Christ. We want to stay centered on trying to live the gospel message of love. We are unified by our faith in God, love for all people, and a passion for justice. So there is hope. There's a lot of hope. There's hope, not just abstractly, but there's hope in this community. And it's not a Pollyannish hope. It's not a hope that brushes over some of the difficult things, challenges that we face. It's a true hope. It's a true Christian hope, because Jesus goes through the passion, death, before the resurrection. And in some ways, this crisis for us has been our passion and has caused a lot of dying for us. But there is hope among us. Just your presence here is a sign of hope. So despite many indications to the contrary, we can affirm and trust that God is still in charge. God is truly still in charge. Thank God that God is in charge. We can affirm that sin, injustice, and violence, even within the church, will be overcome ultimately by God. We can believe that graciousness and gentleness, as manifested by Jesus, are ultimately what's at the root of all reality. This is our Easter faith. And this is what we come here to celebrate this morning, that despite all these contraindications that, and I mentioned like one huge one, there is a basis for hope. We can affirm our Easter creed, and we can do it intelligently, rationally, with our eyes wide open, and we can really declare that Jesus is Lord, that God is in charge. So when I say God is good, please respond all the time. And when I say all the time, please respond, God is good. So God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Happy Easter.